Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome to you this Monday evening. Today's teaching focuses on visitation, which is one of the main areas of working for God. If a Christian cannot master the vital art of visitation, they are missing an important part of their pastoral ministry. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you why a visit is so powerful and the five types of visits by God that had life-changing power and how you can implement them in your own ministry. I believe today's message will spur you on to rise up out of self-centeredness and to be a shepherd who is known to visit. Be blessed by today's word.
What a blessing. Father, we thank you for what you are doing for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you excited to join in this morning, or afternoon, whatever time it is? It's time to present ourselves and our offerings to the Lord. And I want to say, I'll be saying it again in the service, but as the pandemic continues to rage around the world, different measures are being taken, and the different effects of the pandemic in different places is causing different responses. So as time goes by, the responses to the pandemic change. And there are going to be some changes also in the response of different countries. And also, the church also has to respond, not necessarily what, depending on what the countries do, but according to what is also proper for the church to do and to respond to. All right? So everybody must be ready for the changing responses and the changing things that are going to be imposed or forced upon us, or sometimes we would have to take those decisions to flow along so that we can carry on living and serving the Lord till we come to the next phase. Pandemics are not new, or epidemics are not new. It's one of the promises, one of the curses that was promised by Moses on the children of Israel, that they would be consumed with the pestilence. They would be attacked with the pestilence until they are consumed off the earth. You know, and when you say consume, it's like you are eaten up, you know. So, yeah, in Deuteronomy 28, it says, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave, or you get the feeling of stick unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. All right. Now, for instance, during the Second World War, the Germans made ghettos in Poland, and thousands of people were forced into small houses. At a point, you could have as many as 1,000 people in one house. Yeah. And then they were struck with epidemics where you would have the people destroyed by cholera and typhoid and other, those type of epidemics that wiped out thousands and thousands of the Jews in the ghettos. You know, so much so that, to see a Jew stepping out of the ghetto was to see disease coming out. They didn't allow them to come out at all. Yeah. So these are things that have come in the world, and we are unfortunately in the midst of one. So it rarely affects things and nothing is normal. So it takes time. The human beings respond and react, try to make things normal, try to make things normal, try to make things normal. But it's not normal. You get it? And like we really desperately like to say that it's something like malaria, which comes and goes. But it's also mysterious because it's not following science, anything scientific. Every scientific idea has been debunked, set aside, doesn't seem to be following what you think it will follow. Because, for instance, what they predicted in Africa, there will be so many people dying all over the place, there will be dead bodies. We are just entering into, what month are we in now? July. Is it July? Yeah. So we are gonna just hitting into August, and then we are September, and then we are ending the year. It's not following that pattern, certainly. But, you know, in a place, in other places, it's also following other patterns. In America, for instance, they had 1,000 people die in one day. Just one day, 1,000 people die. And the mortuaries were so full that they were keeping the dead bodies. That's about 2 or 3 days ago. Keeping the dead bodies in trucks. Like there was no space in the mortuaries. Every mortuary is full. And that's in America. I mean, it's not a small thing. So, it's a mystery, and we there's obviously different responses to these things. Everybody in his wisdom, what should be done, what they think at each point. So I'm just saying all this to say that the church, we have to respond and adjust and live carefully and also do the right thing so that we can carry on and be there when it's all over, if it's ever over. Because it could be followed with another one. Yes. And you see, God knows what to do. To, you know, it's like, how do you say it? In your body, there are some parts that are more painful. Even on your skull, there are some parts that are softer, that a nail can more easily go through, you know. And there are some parts that are a little harder. And when you are small, there are gaps in the skull that take time to close. So it's like God knows where the gap is, that he can give a disease that when you are near me, it comes. That alone can ground all aeroplanes, businesses, hotels, traveling, borders, preaching, churches, hotels, everything. Very wild. If somebody had thought about it, you wouldn't have thought of that. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Even I don't know, you now have thought of the effect that this thing can go to this extent. So all I'm saying is that there are responses we need to make, and I don't know if this is the beginning, but Jesus' prophecies were too exact. Almost as if it's not true. Couldn't say it exactly like he said it. You know? So when we read the Bible, I think I want us to pay more attention to the prophetic scriptures. In Luke 21, for instance, Jesus said, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies," when you see that Jerusalem is surrounded with armies, everybody should run. You know, in Luke 21, I can find it if they can find it. Beautiful. Are you still there? Yeah. Now, when you shall see Jerusalem, in verse 20, Luke 21 and verse 20, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee. Judea is like all the surroundings of Jerusalem. So if you go to Israel, you see where Jericho is, everybody, even Judea, go to the mountains. That's in Jordan. And then, for these be days of vengeance. Day of vengeance is when you are reaping what you've sown. When the time for vengeance, revenge, has come. It didn't come for a long time. Jesus died. What year did Jesus die, by the way? AD 30 or 33. Yeah. So if he died in AD 33, all right, in the year of our Lord, is it the year that he was born? AD 00. It's either the year he was born or the year he died. But anyway, assume he was the one he died, AD 33. Yeah, Anno Domino, the year he was born. These are days of vengeance, when all things which are written may be fulfilled. A woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon these people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. 14th May 1948. Jesus died 33 AD. AD 66. 66 AD. A general called Vespasian and his son called Titus arrived with Roman armies to surround Jerusalem. And they surrounded Jerusalem. These two people, General Vespasian and Titus, his biological son, also came to Galilee. And they came to surround Jerusalem. That is just, I mean, unless it's a lie, this thing was written after these things happened. He says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation is thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee. So those who believed it fled. Let them which are in the midst of it, you are in Jerusalem, depart. And let not them that are in the far countries enter or come back. For these be days of vengeance. That's why I say revenge, leave it to God. Because when the days come, that is it. So when they surrounded Jerusalem, they kept Jerusalem surrounded, and water, food, and everything got finished. How many have heard of Nero? Nero, the Emperor Nero. Yeah? Uh-huh. He was the emperor then. So you know what happened? Nero died. 68. They came 66. Nero died in 68. And there was a crisis in Rome. So two more emperors came between Nero. And just so they all died. And then they brought the suggestion that Vespasian, who had surrounded Jerusalem, should be made emperor. So Vespasian left Jerusalem. So that's what, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, those who, whatever, flee. So for a short time, Vespasian went to Rome to become the emperor. And his son Titus supported him. 69. Do you see? Then when he finished being established as the emperor, then AD 70, then he came back to start. But he sent his son Titus. He himself stayed in Rome as the emperor. Then Titus came to continue because he came with his father the first time in 66. Like I said, 1966 was AD 66, yes. So then they came back to finalize. And from AD 70, read what Jesus said. He said they will be trodden underfoot till Jerusalem will be trodden of the Gentiles till the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So from AD 70, that's when they destroyed the temple. That's what Jesus was telling. This temple that you are showing me around, not even one stone will be left. They slaughtered the Jews. They slaughtered them. They made them slaves. They took some of them to the Dead Sea. They said you can float. So they put the Jews in to see if they can float with chains. I mean, they did. It was the end of them. All of them. And some people tried to fight back and all that, but it was not possible. The Maccabees, if you have heard of them. They also tried to fight back. That was it. From that time till 1948, Jerusalem has been ruled by Romans, Turks. British was the last in 1948. You get it? Yeah. So is it a metaphorical surrounding of Jerusalem with a spiritual surrounding? No, it was literal. It was literal. And when it said that no stone will be left, was it literal? Or spiritual or metaphorical. You see, and these pestilences, epidemics and earthquakes and wars, are they literal? By a certain point, since 1948, there have been more than 50 to 70, maybe, I don't know, even 100 now, wars. Since the UN has been formed. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' words are powerful. And the prophetic words, they are very, very true. This is Luke 21. Are you there? So, I want us to really have faith that we are serving a God, no matter what any secular group says or what any person says, we should know that our God reigns in the affairs of men. And that we are in the midst of mysterious things. It says, though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries. One of the things that surrounds us are mysteries. Mysteries. Though I have what? The gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. There are many mysterious things. And this is one of them. We are in a pandemic. It's a mystery. It's very mysterious. We don't know whether it's going, it's coming. Yes. Science is not able to define it or contain it. It's amazing. So, brothers and sisters, another prophecy that Jesus gave was in Luke 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Amazing. Give, and the one who said Jerusalem will be surrounded with armies. It happened. You see, the circumstance, Nero dying. You've all heard of Nero, Emperor Nero. Yeah. What was he famous for? Persecuting Christians and so on. Yeah. Fed them to lions and all that. Yeah. But it's just 30, not so long, about 30 years after the Jews shouted, his blood should be on us. His blood should be on us and on our children and our children's children. Just about 30 years after. Yeah. He said, these are days of vengeance. So though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, there are things in our lives which are mysteries. You can't run away from it. Don't try to understand everything because you can't understand everything. And one of the great prophecies of Jesus is give and it shall be given to you. So the theme for our offering this morning is I shall not be moved from prosperity. I shall not be moved from my prosperity. Amen. Are you excited about this prophetic word? I shall not be moved from my prosperity. Psalm 30 and verse number 6. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. In my prosperity, what? I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is saying, the word is saying that in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. And I want you to say that in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Because a lot of people are moved in their moved from their place of prosperity. And you see, the power of God and the power of God's word is very important for you to believe. All these prophecies, it may take 33 years. It may take 100 years, but it will happen. When the days of vengeance, the days of harvest, the days of harvesting what we have sown starts, you'll be shocked in that day. There seemed to be a long phase of no harvest. Then when the harvest starts, bling, that's it. These are days of vengeance. And all the things that are happening now in our world, you know, written by no other than Matthew, who was called Levi, whom Jesus saw picked up from the seat of custom. He was a customs officer or a tax collector. But his name changed to Matthew. You get what I'm saying? His name changed to Matthew. He kept on quoting. You know, everybody and your background. He kept on quoting. The Matthew is the longest book of Jesus by this bad man. And this man kept on saying that the scripture might be fulfilled. He kept on quoting more in Matthew than anywhere else. Thank God for his background. He wrote more. Yes. Are you there? In my prosperity, I shall never be moved. And I believe that your giving is a great contribution to never being moved. Your tithing, your sowing of seeds. Sow good seeds, oh, because even if you don't sow good seeds, you have already sown bad seeds, which are waiting for the day of vengeance. It's true. Look, most people's lives are a mixture of curses and blessings, if you look carefully. Look at the Jews. Blessings of prosperity. You try to do whatever to them. You know, when they started to persecute Jews in Spain. Have you heard of Christopher Columbus? What did he do, Christopher Columbus? He discovered America. Do you know who went with him to America? That was the day that Christopher Columbus left. That was the day when they started the Spanish persecution of Jews. Spain was a world empire. Spain was a world empire. Its dominion spread across the whole world. Just like the Roman was a world empire. Everybody who touched the Jews turned into a local country. Cursed are those that curse you, and blessed are those that bless you. The Roman Empire turned into a small country, Rome, Italy. British Empire, which was from as far as Australia to India to wherever, it turned. They were in charge of the Jews. They turned against the Jews in 1945. And that was the end of them. They are now small. They are even becoming smaller. They are shrinking. Are you with me? So Christopher Columbus, when they started persecuting Jews, they packed the ship to go to discover the new America. Do you know who was in the ship? Jews. Yeah. See, they were on their way to America to start a new life. Pack up with Jews. Blessed are those that bless you, and cursed are those that curse you. When Hitler started to persecute Jews in 1933, there were about 500,000 of them. By the time they started the war, there were about 200,000. The rest had gone to America, including Einstein. Yeah. That's what made all the American rich people, they're all from the persecution that drove them to the free world to prosper. So watch out. When you are dealing with blessings and curses, they are realities. You tamper with your life. And there are many things that we have done that bring curses. So let us do something that brings a blessing. Amen. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give. Amen. It's more blessed to give. Amen. It's more blessed to give. Amen. It's a blessing to give. Yes. People who are stingy, they don't know how they are cursed. Yeah. The more you open your bowels of compassion, the more you are free, the more you don't think too much. Wow. Nobody thinks much when he's giving something to his child. Somebody will even think you are mad when you are giving to your child because you don't see it as giving. That's when your bowels of compassion are free. Do you understand when somebody has free bowels? Yes. It means what? Things are flowing. Yeah. Free bowels of compassion. No one thinks, oh, this is my child. I've given too much rice to my child. I've given too much bread to my child. There's nothing like that. You rather want, how can I give more to my child? I don't have enough to give to my child. Free. So, brothers and sisters, let us invoke the blessing of I shall not be moved from my prosperity in our giving this morning. Amen. Every gift you give is helping to build hundreds of cathedrals, churches, and also helping to make Healing Jesus campaign a reality. If Healing Jesus campaign needs to have an aeroplane, we should be able to give to support make it a reality, a possibility. Yes. We are blessed enough to do that. How many years are we left with? How many years I had a message to pray for Yonggi Cho. We should pray for him. I had two messages. Yeah, because he's had a serious life-threatening situation. Maurice Cerullo is gone. Yonggi Cho is questions. Bonke is gone. This is gone. Hagen is gone. Derek Prince is gone. Everybody who came to prophesy is gone. And we are here. But people, a lot of questions. What is there left to do again than to do our very best for the last and dash from the system. A useless and wicked world. Hey. Are you with me? So as we give, we are not giving by the grace of God. We have money to buy granules. Even after church today, I'll eat meat. Wow. You see, I've prospered. What else do you need? You cannot do much. Isn't it true? You and the poorest and the rich man, all of you eat rice, all of you eat meat. Is it not true or is it true? Yeah. The richest man in your town, he's just looking for watch to buy. Yes. All the rich people in Ghana, they eat wache. You don't know? And when they have millions that they can pay 10,000 cedis for small wache, they still have to pay the same. How much is it? 10 cedis, 5 cedis. That is, even though they have, I can pay 1,000 for it, it's still only 10 cedis. Donald Trump eats KFC in Air Force One. He eats KFC. Because that's what he feels like eating, hamburgers. And how much is the KFC? 12 cedis in Ghana. So maybe $2, $3. You can have billions, but that is all you can eat. I shall not be moved in my prosperity. Believe the prophetic words of Jesus. Give and it shall be given unto you. 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 Hallelujah. So I want everybody to take out a gift that can build a church. Yes, some of you want to join in the building of churches. You are welcome to join in. We are building for the last and then we dash from this world. Are you ready to join the builders and dashers? We are building and dashing. We leave the world behind. Amen. But before we leave, we have to finish what he has called us. I want to give 100 cedis today, $100, 100 pounds, 100 whatever. Sow a seed. It's more blessed to give 1,000. It's more blessed. Believe in these things. Stop being a Christian who doesn't believe things. Stop being a Christian who doesn't believe in things that are said in the Bible. Stop it now. Jesus' words are too accurate. Is it not amazing? When you see Jerusalem surrounded, Charlie, if you are in the thing, dash. And there was a small opportunity to dash. Amazing. So, take your offering. I shall not be moved. 100, and also take your tithes in case the television goes off or the social media goes off or the, what do you call it, goes off. Don't. I wouldn't want you to join the service with a nonchalant attitude. Check nonchalant. Nonchalant. Nonchalant, please. I wouldn't want you to be here with a nonchalant attitude. Check nonchalant. Lethargic, unconcerned, passive, nonchalant. No nonchalance in this service. Detached, indifferent. Put it up on the scene. You can sow your special seed. First Love Church has undertaken in this coronavirus. Yes, look at it. Nonchalant. Indifferent. Careless. And what? Cool. We don't need what? Coolness. You need coolness. How many want to have a lover who is cool? Very cool and very, just nonchalant. All couples must go against nonchalant. Make a banner and put it in your house. No nonchalance. You can send messages now. Nonchalance is over today during the offering time. Anti-nonchalance. NNC. What does it mean? No nonchalance. NNT. No nonchalance today. Wow. Now, concentrate on the offering. Stop sending messages. Stop sending nonchalant messages to spouses, please, and beloveds. Let's be serious on the offering. This is how to give an offering after you do the nonchalant text. Luke 6:38. The same Luke 21 that said that Jerusalem will be surrounded with armies until the times of the Gentiles, until a season has ended. And that season has ended. So we are about to begin new things. There will be earthquakes. There will be pestilences. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. And the gospel will be preached and the end will come. This is the end. This is a prophecy. The words of Jesus. That's all. So everyone joining in. Sow your special seed. First lovers, all lovers of God, greater lovers and first lovers. Please. And UD is made up of two groups. The first lovers and greater lovers. Yes. Greater love has no man than this. That a man should lay down his life. Our parents have laid down their lives for us. Yes. They have the greater love. And then the first lovers have first love, like the initial love. Yes, the first works, initial love. Yes, and it will mature into greater love. Yes. And they also give birth to first lovers. And then we'll all walk in love together. Please do not be nonchalant. Are you giving your offering with excitement? Let's pray. Father, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. We thank you that we'll never be moved from the place of prosperity into the place of poverty and difficulty. We make this prophetic declaration over every offering and over everyone. Lord, even in our greatest and deepest difficulty and poverty, we still declare, I shall never be moved from my prosperity. Thank you for blessing everyone who is giving to support your work in a special way today. Thank you for this prophetic offering. Lord, a prophetic offering following on the words of Jesus that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Good measure pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men come and give into our bosom. Even if it takes 33 years, Lord, we believe that it will happen practically. Bless every giver and bless every soul. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed to be in the house of God? Do you sense the spirit of joy? We know that all things work together for good. Tell the nearest person to you that we know all things are working together for good. Amen. Oh, amen. I hope you are saying amen at home, because once again, I'm struggling in the studio. Amen. Are you excited to be in the house of God? Are you happy to be in the house of God? Do you feel privileged to be in the house of God? Do you feel chosen by God to be in the house of God? Hallelujah. I believe God has a word for us today. And it's a word in season. A word to bless us and a word to change us. Now, if you are expecting God to speak to you, wave at me on Zoom. Can I see you waving at me? Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe God has given us a pastor to feed us with knowledge, to feed us with understanding, to explain the scriptures to us. And I believe that today is going to be no different. Amen. So if you're as excited as I am, let's sing our song of faith, that we sing every time before we hear the word. We declare over our lives that nothing is impossible when we put our trust in Him.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Let me hear. hear you sing, nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Now say, hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible with God.
One more time, lift your right hand and declare over your life that nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Now turn to your neighbor and say, nothing is impossible. When you're trusting in His word. Put one hand behind your ear and say, hearken to the voice
of God to me.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible.
It's the time for your miracle. Let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for the privilege that we have in your house. Bless us in these few moments that we are together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning, afternoon, evening, day, our subject is shepherding. What it means to become a shepherd and how to transform your pastoral ministry and the art of shepherding. All right? Beautiful. So, I am on what we call PVCI. All right? And if you remember, in Exodus 29, the Lord said, I wanted to make you a nation of priests. Amen. I want to make you a nation of priests. Is it 29? All right? And the Lord said, I'm making you a nation of priests, servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Who are going to serve the Lord in the priesthood. Exodus 19. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. All right? So that is our heritage. God wants to make us a whole church full of pastors. Do you like the idea?
Yes.
All right? Now, notice verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. So God wants us to be special. All right? Special. The word peculiar is the word special. Treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. Now, to be a kingdom of priests is to therefore become conversant with the work of being a shepherd, which is the basic work of a priest. Prayer, visiting, counseling, and interaction. Yesterday, I was at a funeral, and the priest, whilst he was preaching, said that he used to visit the person who had died and administer Holy Communion to the person. And he kept visiting the person. And the person would give an offering in an envelope and to say with a letter saying thank you and a donation. And the priest kept going there and visiting. This is a priest. All right? A work is to visit. If he doesn't visit, who will visit? Okay? And that's a basic work of a priest. You get it? And then he was the same priest preaching, which is the PVCI, the C. He was counseling us and preaching to us. And then V was visiting. And then after the service, he was interacting with us. And then his work is to pray. And he was offering incense, which symbolizes the prayers that goes on. And also a lot of prayers were said in the service. So that's that. A work of a priest. P-V-C-I. Or P-V-T-I. Are you there? So now God is saying in Exodus that I want the whole country to be priests. Wow. So then your question is, who is going to be members? The members will be the junior priests. Those will be the members. And the senior priests will do the work of the priests and then for them. And then the members will be junior priests or beginners. Novices. Do you get it? Yes. And then all our sins will be washed away by the blood. Amen. That's why even bad boys and girls can also join the priesthood now through the blood. What do you think? Good options. So today, I want you to remember the work of a shepherd or a priest. P-V-C-I. Okay, so last week I shared a little about the prayer. Today I want to share a little about the V, the visitation. Okay, visitation. Very, very important for you to believe in visitation. Amen. Visiting is a very key area of ministry. Now, visiting is mentioned all through the Bible. And you find that it's an art that all Christians must learn. Now, visiting is the beginning of your active ministry. Visiting is the beginning of your active ministry. You see, within visitation lie the hallmarks of your future conferences. It has all the traits of your future conferences that you'll be holding in different parts of the world. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm saying that in your future conferences, how many want to have future conferences? What are the steps to your future conference when you are holding conferences or camp meetings? Or when you are traveling to a crusade, you, I'm talking about you. Will you pray before you go? Will you travel somewhere? I'm asking whether you travel somewhere. Or will you go somewhere to your future congregation that you'll be talking to? Do you understand my question? Will you go somewhere? Now, visitation includes going somewhere. You have to dress up and go. Isn't it? Yes. Number three, in your future conferences that you are going to be holding. That's if Jesus doesn't come, by the way. Those of you who are younger, you must contend with the reality that Jesus may come before you finish your ministry. Yeah. I don't know. Because the prophecies are really happening now. Yeah. You must contend with that. So all those who want to get married, hurry up, because you can never tell. You may not taste of marriage till Jesus comes. Yeah, before Jesus comes. All my young children, please. Don't forget, Jesus may come soon. So if you are thinking, plan it well. Now, your future conferences. You will go to a strange place which you are not used to. Isn't it? Isn't it? And you'll be odd in that place. Like maybe there are times I've been to Korea or to Malaysia or to Japan or to Bolivia or to Venezuela. I've been to all these places. I got up and I went there. I didn't know the people. Do you see? And then I had to speak. A visitation. You speak to the people. And after what? You pray. Yes. So within visitation lie all the hallmarks of your future ministry. So when a person cannot master the art of visiting alone into somebody's house, when you speak to one person or to two people, you have not even started the very first part of the training of how to even visit somebody. And even like, what will you say? You see, what do you say? When I'm going, I've been invited to preach somewhere, I'm going to preach somewhere. The question is, what will I say? It's the biggest question. If I'm coming to preach this morning, what will I say? I have so many things to say. It's apart from being short of what to preach, there's another problem of you have too many things to say. Because in this book, I can preach it till next year. That's the truth. If anybody takes it, you can try it and see. Yes. I'd have to abbreviate so many things. So what to say, you have to choose. And how to keep talking under inspiration. If you are not prepared to learn how to do a visit, to visit people and change their lives by your visit, you have not learned the first part of your ministry. And that's why God is not promoting you to even talk to 10 people. You are too lazy to go anywhere. You are too self-centered to think of other people's problems. Sometimes you are too proud to go to somebody's house. Maybe you even feel that the area is below you. You even feel that the area is below you. Or sometimes you are too proud to go to that person because you feel that the person is below you. Or you are too proud because it's only one person. You feel you are wasting your time. You see, all ministry has these elements. You feel you are wasting your time. Many times I preach, I feel I'm wasting my time. Many times I talk to people, I feel I'm wasting my time. That feeling is there always. What you say, you don't know whether they are interested in. Preaching to people, you don't know whether they are interested. Whether they are happy that you've come. So within your visit are all the elements of full-time mega ministry. And he that is faithful with little will be faithful with much. Hallelujah. So it is when you are not faithful with little, you get it? You are never going to be given much. And when you cannot minister in such a way as to change somebody's life on a one-to-one basis, why do you expect to have a large crowd to listen to you? To minister. You are not even prepared to have your bath and go somewhere. You can even go without bathing, but you could have even bathed and gone. You are not prepared to change your clothes and adjust your life and to come home late, which contain all the elements of ministry. Instead of relaxing, instead of being wherever, there you are out there in somebody's house, somebody's place, and you don't have any way of showing how real you are. You know, you see, many ministers are not real, but a visit rarely shows that you are real, because honestly, people only visit their friends. True or not true? True? Visiting a Christian is a way of denying yourself from your selfish life, your selfish, self-centered, narrow tunnel-minded, tunnel vision Christianity, to broadening yourself to seeing what is missing in somebody's life and to be able to go to somebody without having any benefit whatsoever. That the only person who benefits from this is the person that you visited. Few do this. Few do this. Visitation is an indication of humility. That is why many of us pastors have stopped visiting, because our pride has grown in us as we prosper and as we become greater and greater men of God. It's like we feel that we are at a plane. You can't go down to somebody at where the person is, in the room that the person, the conditions that the person is in. It's true. Too big to go down there and visit. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even care if you are not listening, because you see, you get used to it at a point. Yes.
Preach.
Yes. Psalm. Psalm 8. Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. You see, visitation is the beginning of your missionary work. You can't go into block C on Avenue whatever, to block C upstairs to the top floor, room 603 or flat number 7B or 7BBC. You can't go there. You can't go there. You say you want to be a missionary in London. You can't go where there are streets and addresses and GPS numbers to find a place. You can't go there. Effort. Visitation reveals you are not ready for ministry. Lack of visitation reveals that you are not ready for ministry at all. You are going to go to where on a mission field? You are saying you've now gone to the end of the world. End of the world begins. The first step to the end of the world is the visit that you take to somebody. That's the beginning of going to the end of the world. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Have you seen how God is wild? Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. This verse is in favor of young people. It's saying that young people are going to be used to do strong things for God. So everyone who is a babe and a suckling, receive grace to be fulfilling this beautiful prophecy.
Amen.
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 Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Eh? Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? When I see the sun and the moon and the stars, the great things that you have made, the works of your fingers, I'm asking myself the question that what is the man that thou visitest him? That you visit man. Humility, visitation is one of the greatest signs of humility and practical ministry. A real person who is ready for working for God. Going from room to room, door to door, house to house, place to place. Okay, you are actually physically going somewhere. And then you're sitting in your room sending messages and sending calls. What are you talking about? What a shame for most of us who are not prepared to rise up into the reality of PVCI. When we start the flow prayer, you are now saying that you are surprised that you do not know what is prayer. What is the prayer about? What is that is the prayer? And the visitation, the practical minister, a man of God who is going to this house. After that, he's going to this house. After that, he's going up here. After that, he's moving here to do what? To see nobody, to see to a person who you can say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? below your rank. Yes. And that's why ministry never starts. Because you minister alone in rooms and in houses before you ever stand at a conference. Long before you see the person ministering to one person, to a nobody, to a widow, to a person who is nothing. But you are there. And you are there. Look, you get no claps. You get no money. You get nothing. You know, the man who we attended his funeral yesterday was 90-something years old. What does a 90-something-year-old man have to give you? I'm asking you, like, what connection will he have in the future that he can make a call to connect you or to help you? All his mates are in the 90s. And his juniors are in the 80s. You get what I'm saying? He has no connections. His mates are in the 90s and his juniors are in the 80s. Think about your junior. Many people who you think are very, very grown up are just 10 years older than you. If you, when you grow up, you realize that, oh, but you are, oh, this one was only 10 years older than me. Today, I'm so surprised to find out that some of the lecturers look so grown up, threatening me when I was a student, they are just about 10 years older than me. So 10 years changes your generation. And 10 years makes a person look way older. Because from 17 to 27, or from 16 to 26, it's like the world has changed. Yes. So a 90-year-old person, he has nothing. But the priest was there. You know, as you grow, you will appreciate the Catholic Church more. It's when you are a novice. That's the best word to use. That's when you speak certain things. Which church has pastors that all the pastors wear the same uniform? All. Whether you speak this language or all the pastors wear the same uniform. All of them have the same words. Cardinal, this. All of them have one leader. And the leader can be from anywhere. Which church has pastors in every country? I said, which church has pastors in every country, in every color, in every language? Yes. The countries we've been praying for. Which church? It's as you grow, you appreciate them. And you appreciate most of all the pastors who decide, even if they are not able to, but they've decided that they will not marry. That even that somebody can even comprehend that decision alone. As you grow, you understand the meaning of that decision. It's not a small thing. When you see them alone in their houses, yes, you appreciate it. With only a fridge and the television and the chairs. And you also call pastor. So, brothers and sisters, what I am telling you, I hope you are getting my point. I'm telling you that the priest visiting somebody who there is no benefit to you. It's not. That's where you even start to see that somebody has denied himself and is doing something only for somebody. Which is ministry. Ministry is you live for other people to get. You are okay, but for somebody else to have something. You have not visited me. You have not visited me. Turn with me to Matthew. Are you there? Have you found the book of Matthew? Now, verse 31. 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man, you see, when I mention something in the Old Testament, you may think that I'm trying to be strict. But let's go to Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Are you ready for that? Then he shall sit upon his throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I'm talking about visitation. How many want to be selected as a goat? Do you want to be selected as a goat when the selection process is beginning? And he shall say to the set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And the king shall say unto those on his right hand, come ye blessed, blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Verse 36. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. You visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Visited. Jesus is talking about somebody who had the time and the energy to visit someone who could not give him anything in return to say thank you. That's ministry. Ministry is where you come out of yourself and you start doing things for others. Ministry is where you come out of your small life. Ministry is where you come out of me, my husband, and my wife, and my children. And that small group. That's a very small group, eh? It's a small group. Ministry. Then, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Cursed for doing what? Cursed for doing what? What have we done that we are cursed? Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. My goodness. For I was unhungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Sick and in prison and there was no visit. You never rose up from your chair. You know, a real minister, you see, ministry begins with visits. Yes. When I've been to different places to visit, towns, countries. Are you there? They're all visits. They're all visits. They are visits which change lives. I realize that most of the countries that I've attended, I've visited and had camp meetings, the churches there are working. It was something that God showed me. Have you noticed that if you've had a camp at this place, that church starts to work? The reason is the presence of a visit. A visit. What was teached? What was taught? What can be taught? How much? But there is something in the power of the visit. It shows I love you, I care about you, I think about you, and that is the power of charity. So I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and understand all knowledge and have all faith, and I have not charity. I'm nothing. I'm nothing in the ministry. Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Amen. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Moses, he was saying that every house is visited by death. Every house is visited by sorrow. Every home is visited after the visitation of all men. There is a visit that when it comes, the whole environment changes. It's true. There's a change. When death visits, there's a change. Everything is changed. There are visits of certain things. When it comes to your home, your life, everything is changed from that time onwards. It's over. Your house has been visited by something. Something that changes it. It just comes and goes. And everything is different. That is the power of a visit. It may not stay for long. But after the visit, everything is different. That's why Moses said, if these men die a common death, or maybe don't understand, or they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. They will not have a normal visit, what everybody has. Are you there? Yes. Every house has a father. Every house will mourn his father one day, will mourn their mother, will mourn their children, will mourn something. But that visit changes everything. Your visit will change everything if you would visit. You want to be an evangelist. You want to be a missionary. You want to serve God. You will start serving God by starting to come out of yourself and visiting. I'm not talking of witnessing. I'm not talking of witnessing. I'm talking of visiting. Why have you come here? I've come to visit you. Hey, me? I've come to visit you. If these men are visited after the visitation of all men normally don't have people coming to check on them. There was a man called Uncle James. He used to park outside my house. Can you believe it? Me, my house, as a small boy. You see, that's why I started with, who art thou? And I will mention his name till I die, Uncle James. I will mention his name till I die. He will park his car outside my house and have time to talk to me. Now, when I think of how old he must have been, somebody who could lecture in the university. I mean, who am I? Who am I? But he had time to sit with me in his car, in his house. And in school, he would come and park there. Wow. Who art thou? Who art thou? Who art thou? What are you? But we see, we are so big. It reveals wretchedness of pride. That's why we don't go to nobody's house. In fact, you don't have time. You have to sacrifice to do it. We don't have time for such things. To pass by someone's home. Oh yeah, how is it? So are you okay? And so on. And to pray with the person. To pray with the person. And to talk to the person. And change the person's life by your visit. Wow. If they are visited with a visitation, that's normal. A common visitation. Then the Lord has not sent me. It's not a normal visit. It's a special visit. Job chapter 10, verse 12. Job, thou hast granted me life and favor. Life and what? Favor. Thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Your visit has preserved me. Your visit has changed everything. Your visit has done what? My normal life could not accomplish. Your visit has preserved my spirit. That's why we remember Bonky for coming to Ghana. We remember how long did they stay, please? We remember Maurice Cerullo. We remember Yonggi Cho for coming to Ghana. How long did they stay? Billy Graham came to Kumasi. T.L. Osborne at the Independence Square. How long did they stay? But they came. T.L. Osborne came to Manchagbana to preach. Jamestown, Manchagbana. He visited. He came when there was no harbor. Where when you come, you put your things in a canoe and you come to the shore. That's when he came here. Yes. When there was no harbor in Ghana. That's when he came to preach. And his message was, I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the Jews. I said, I owe you something. I owe you the gospel. In Jamestown, he preached at Jamestown. He had two interpreters, one in Ghana, one in Chi. He said, I owe you the gospel. That's why I've come. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he said, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That was all. He just read those verses to us. No stories, nothing. Just read the verses to us. Ghana and Chi, Ghana and Chi, Ghana and Chi. Both of them were wearing cloth. They were wearing cloth to interpret. You know, Ghanaian cloth. What the president wears for inauguration. The interpreter was wearing one. Are you there? Beautiful. So visitation, chapter 28. Visits have transformed your pastoral ministry. Life-changing power. Many pastors do not know the secret behind the power of visitation. I want you to understand why the visitation in the ministry of a pastor or a shepherd or a priest is so powerful. Number one, visitation is an expression of love. Number two, visitation involves the ministry of the word. And number three, visitation involves the ministry of prayer. The word of God is powerful and life-changing. The Bible says that it brings light where there is darkness. It is therefore no surprise that it has a powerful effect on people. So when you go in with the word, we are not talking of social visits. And we are not talking of sexual visits where you go to have sex with the people that you are visiting. Any man who claims to be a shepherd who comes to try to have sexual activities with you is an agent of the devil. He's not a shepherd. He's an agent of the devil, and he's a false brother. I'm telling you, no, even if he's carrying whatever title he's carrying, that's not what he's for. And there are people who do that, carrying big titles. So don't misunderstand what we are talking about. And don't be misled. And if you are a member of the church, don't accept such useless visits. You have such a visit, you make a call and say, hey, you know something? I just want to inform you, this man is imposing as an imposter. It's not a shepherd. Don't accept it. It's not from God. It's not from God. Don't accept it. It's a ministry of prayer, ministry of the word, and an expression of love. The Bible also says that love never fails. There are many spiritual weapons that we use all the time. No weapon has been described as never failing. This makes love a very powerful weapon. Amen. Sometimes we minister the word, but the people don't feel loved. In visitation, there is a mixture of the word, prayer, and love. The person who is being visited feels love. For you to have gone to his home, you must really love him. The act of journeying to someone's house at an odd hour demonstrates great love. You cannot demonstrate love in words only. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, love is also demonstrated in actions, not in word only. Let us not love in word. Amen. As you grow, you meet a lot of people say, I love you. I've heard a lot of I love yous. You might as well say Mickey Mouse. Or you might as well say something that is not true. It has no meaning. That's why even I love you is even, you see that when nowadays you prefer I like you is even more. I like the way you like me. And what is that one? Huh? No, I mean the other song. I know I like you, yeah. I know I really like you. Yeah. Because I love you, it has lost its power. There's so much of I love you. And that it says, love not in word. Put the scripture there. Stop pretending. Put it there. Let us not love in word. And yet, kasa, is it how you say it? It's not enyanu. Enyanu, okay. It's not the word. Let us not love in words. But what? Neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So your deeds and the true thing of what you've done is what really reveals whether you love. That's it. There's plenty of words. Oh, I love you. Oh, it's true. It's true. I realize it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. So you're going to somebody's house. You know, you have pastors and say, congregation, glory to God. I really love you. I love you all. You're the best church. I love you so much. God bless you. See you next week. I love you all. Bye. We are not in America. All right. To just be saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and so on. Love indeed. Yeah. Anyone who says A and does a different thing, the words have lost their meaning. And don't believe it. Don't believe it. If you say this and you do that, that action is supposed to speak louder than the words. But you know, we are so convinced with two things. People's words and then their faces. When the face is nice and the words are good, we take it. Then when the action is contrary, we struggle. But God is telling us to go by the action. You shall know them by their fruits, not their words. That's why when people say, I want to be in the ministry, I say, you know something, just arrive. Stop the talking too much. That's all right. This is, I don't listen to those things. Oh, it's nice. When you come practically, or you do it practically, we will take you seriously. Yes. Love not in word. Love not in word, neither in tongue. With tongues. With deeds. And then truth. Anybody who lies to you does not love you. Loving indeed involves knowing the real life situations that people live in. Sometimes the person who is being visited does not even hear the words that you speak. What remains with him is the fact that you cared enough to come. Dear minister, do not underestimate the effect of this powerful mixture, the word, love, and prayer. Amen. Are you there? That is transform your pastoral ministry. Amen. Now, there are many things to do. But I want to jump straight to 5 visits that have life-changing power. Number 1, a visit that solves marital problems. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, Genesis 3 verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The Lord God visited Adam and Eve in the midst of a crisis. They were having problems because they had done something wrong. Adam was blaming Eve for talking to the serpent, and Eve was blaming Adam for not spending time with her. It was a veritable marriage crisis. They didn't have clothes to wear and they didn't have money. And the Lord walked in at the right time. He showed them the consequences of their actions. He ministered the word of God to them. Then he organized some new clothes for the family. What a visit. This visit changed the course of human history. And unto Adam and also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And you realize that Adam and Eve's life did not, it's almost like God didn't even address their problem till he visited them. Until he visited them, he never really got into their things. And what is man, that the Son of Man, that you visit him? So visiting people helps you to see. You know, when you go, one of the things you must not be deceived by, couples, A1 looking couples. A1 looking couples, when they call the husband, sweetheart, sweetie, darling, honey, stop sugar plum, stop being deceived by those pictures. They are just babes. Sugar. They are just smoke screens. Yeah. A lot of them are just smoke screen. It's a metaphorical love. Yes. When you look, you must wonder, is it as I see it? Or there's something else? Yes, a lot are like that. It's not as it looks. Till you visit, then you see that Adam and Eve had a problem. They had a serious problem. Serious. Eve has related with somebody she should not relate with. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Yes. Eve's action. This is when you visit that you find out that Eve is the one who has spoiled the marriage. Yes. You always think that it's Adam who has led his family into difficulty. And that he's a bad leader. That's where you find out that Adam's mistake, his real mistake, was following his wife. The Lord said, and because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. Those are the words in the King James. Because you listen to her, this is what's going to happen to you. It's when you visit that you find out evil behind a good look. Put it. And to Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. Many people don't know the influence of a wife. It's only when you marry, after some time, you see that you realize how powerful the influence of a wife is. Very powerful. So visitation can be a blessing, except you visit. You will never know. God visited Adam and Eve. God himself visited Adam and Eve. The Lord visited them in the cool of the day. And that was it. May you visit and may you help people in reality. Yes. People coming around posing. You know, I always remember a brother who was wearing a light brown political suit. and his wife was wearing a dress with the same light brown color, his and hers. I saw them in a certain country, not in Ghana. A certain country whose name begins with one of the alphabets. And I asked the pastor, hey, these people are whatever. Amazing couple. I saw their together spots. Ho. When he tells you the problems and the issues, you can't even believe it. So I said, they have not spoken for so long. So I said, about how they were wearing the same clothes. He said, oh, they coordinate it with silence. This one takes this one, and this one knows it, then they iron. And then they prepare and they come to church. So show. Number two. This is the beginning of your ministry. Yes. As you cannot talk about marital issues one-to-one, how do you think you can preach about it? As you cannot travel to go, as you cannot talk to people counseling, you know, I wrote a book, Model My, or parts of it. I wrote, people use it. No one has ever appreciated me for all their marriages that they have. They just take it, they use it. No one. One day I was invited and I went to preach. And the pastor said, insisted that I should use that. I said, well, I have other powerful. He said, no. You must only preach from this book. He's the only person who appreciated me on that book. Yeah. Since I was born up till now. Yes. All the couples use it. Yeah. So before I stood in an international pulpit to preach, I have been doing one-on-one and going to people's houses and telling them, when you visit somebody, that's where you see that the dress that the person is looking neat came from as if there was a bomb in the house. Even these people on the Zoom, they have all put a background that makes the house look very neat. But if you are to go into the house, you'll be shocked. Huh? Ashley. Beautiful. So, the beginning of your ministry, the beginning of breaking out of your selfishness is the beginning when you start visitation. Yes. You think it's a small thing. You think it's a small thing. But it's not a small thing. Amen. Number two, a visit to encourage people. These are visits by God. And when Abraham was 90 years old, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. Amen. And he continued, Genesis 17, verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Personal interactions. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations, I have made thee. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Abraham had been married for many years and had not been able to have a child. That was a great problem to his family. During a visitation by Jehovah, a word of encouragement was spoken. You are going to be a father. Dear pastor, can you imagine the encouraging effect of those words on your life if you were in Abraham's situation? Many times I've visited people when they have said, I feel so encouraged. The combination of love, prayer, and the word is an unbeatable mixture. Amen. Yes. Encouraging words. It will be okay. You're going to have a child. You'll be a father. Don't worry about this. That's all. But many times when you are preaching, although you've said it's going to be okay, God's going to take care. You shall not be moving your prosperity. They don't see it personally. Till you go. And when you are there, you speak the word. But you are too big to minister to one person, Mr. Big Staff. That's why we don't see many of us visiting anybody. Yes. Nobody visits nobody. And that's why people come into our midst and backslide and we never see them. We never hear of them again for years. Visiting is the pastor's work. From the beginning of your pastoral ministry, the sign to me, if I see someone, so where I go, so I'm going to visit this person. That's how I'll know that you are a real man of God. Long before you have a big church, said, oh, why are you so? I'm in Kaneshi. Oh, why are you? I'm here. Why are you? I'm here. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm at this person's house. I'm at this person's place. To me, I tell you, that's the beginning. That's what shows that, yes, you are really a pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who doesn't really do that, really, you're not really a minister. Because whatever it is, do you understand? To travel somewhere, and when you came, what did you come? Love, you came with prayer and the word. That's all. And you can't do it, but you want to be a missionary. You want to be an evangelist. Oh, I see myself in a conference speaker. Bishop, I saw myself in a dream. I was sitting on a mountain and I was preaching. A lot of people were gathering. It starts with going to somebody's house to visit and to preach to them. Yeah. To speak words of life, words of encouragement, words of hope. Yeah. Not to do bad things. So when I say go to visit somebody, I don't mean go and sleep there. Or go and have sex in their sitting room. Or go and abuse young girls. Or misuse people. Wicked man. Number three. A visit to bring advice and guidance. Amen. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land where I shall tell thee of. So this counseling visitation brought what? Guidance. Amen. Amen. There was an economic crisis in Isaac's city. As he prepared to get a visa to travel, he received a visitation. During the visitation, he received advice. And the Lord told him, don't travel like everyone else. God will look after you. What was that? I was preaching about Jesus. Personal interaction, something. What does it call? Private interviews. Yeah. You see, it's in the private times that you get certain things. Isaac's life was changed forever because of that piece of advice. Many people's lives are changed forever because of a visit that brings advice. As you go out on visitation, see yourself as someone bringing advice and guidance to God's people. Yes. Guidance. As you visit, you speak words and you say, do this, don't do this. Or you say, if you are not as confident just as I am, you will say, I think. Or I'll say, what do you think about this? That's how usually I prophesy. I've been so used to not being sure of myself that when I started to prophesy, that I also start my prophecy. Instead of saying, that says the Lord, my prophecy begins with, what do you think about? Or are you interested in this? My prophecies begin with questions. A word of advice. Amen. Amen. Number four. A visit that makes a sheep committed, anointed, and a tithe payer. God visited Jacob. God visited Jacob. Genesis 28 and verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And Jacob received a visitation from the Lord. He was a backslidden person who had cheated many people. That night, his life was changed forever. A crooked person was made straight. From then on, he became a committed Christian. Amen. Amen. He decided to pay tithes and help to build the church. What a difference visitation can make. Do you see what a powerful weapon visitation is in the ministry of a pastor? Genesis 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, this is the promise he made at the visitation, and God will keep me in the way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will give you the tenth of it. I'll pay tithes from today. There are people who decide to support the church and support the ministry because you go and visit them. They decide that I will pay tithes and I will be a supporter. Your visit has moved them so much that they decide, look, I really want to be part of this. I'll always be there. There's a lady, you know, I remember her because I visited her in Zamramra line. Yes, I've never been there before. But when I visited in Zamramra line, I cannot even find a place today. In a corner, in a slum somewhere, I visited the room. Even to enter the room. But you know, sometimes when I go to America, I see her in the camp. And I say, I always remember. God, that is the last interaction I had with her. But she's faithful, ever faithful. Years have gone by. I always find that lady. I visited her in that corner, that hole, the dungeon. I can't find a place now, and I'm sure it's exactly the same. Because there's no difference. You know, 30 years later. Yeah. Maybe it was even worse. Jacob vowed a vow, said, I'm for you. There are people, you don't know why they are committed. One day I went to a pastor's birthday party. And everybody was, well, different people were giving testimony. This one said, I was there, you visited me. I was in prison, you came there. I was there, you sent somebody to me. All of them were talking like that. Ministry starts with a small congregation of one person. Two people, one family. That's the beginning of ministry. You are barren until you start visiting. You are barren until you start visiting. You are empty until you start visiting. Not to become friends or to develop friendship or to visit somebody who has something, somebody who can connect you, somebody who can help you, somebody who is powerful. I'm saying somebody who is nothing. All these visits, what will God get from visiting these people? Wretched Adam and Eve, you are going to do something with this snake. Now your whole life is spoiled. Oh, what do you have? But God, in his goodness, will stoop down to somebody who is low and say, okay, I'm visiting you. And the person will say, because of what you have done, if I get the chance to serve God, I will always be committed. And that's when Jacob said, I will be a faithful person. Even my money, I'll give you 10%. It's a vow of Israel. Then God visited Moses. These are visits by God, Jehovah. Jehovah is called a great shepherd. God calls himself a shepherd. Apart from Jesus saying, I'm a good shepherd, Jehovah himself calls himself a great shepherd. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah. And he calls himself Jehovah as a shepherd. It's in there. Now, the last visit. God visited Moses to get his attention. If you are interested in ministry, you'll be interested in such things. Ministry begins to one person. Ministry begins when you move. You move your what do you call it, to another place. You rise up, you drive or you get up and you go. Then you stand and you overcome the oddity of being in an environment you are not used to. and the awkwardness of the visit. Then you speak the word. And then you pray. And you minister. You see that people will be committed. You will be wondering that. So where does this man get these people from? Why will somebody be ready to die for him? You'll be surprised at the level of commitment that people have. You'll be surprised. At the level of what? Commitment. You'll be shocked. Some of you don't know the level of commitment people have. There are people who are committed. Very wildly committed. No matter what, you see their commitment is very wild. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was what? Was not consumed. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Amen. Why what? The bush is not burnt. You see, there are always unusual things that happen to make you to get your attention. And as I close this little message, there are people here, God has given you unusual things that are supposed to get your attention. What has he spoken to you about that is getting your attention? What is a sign in your life? Anything that is different and that makes your life different is a sign. Anything that brings attention is a sign. And you are, as a spiritual man, you are supposed to notice odd things, unusual things. When Jesus met the disciples and he told them, cast your net on this side, and they got fish. After all night, there's no fish in the sea. And they've explained that there's nothing. Then he said, do it. Then they got fish. Then the net began to break. It's another sign. Then they put it in the boat and the boat began to sink. Luke 5, the Bible says that they saw, depart from me. I am a sinner. I mean, immediately you are supposed to know that this unusual event is doing something. And his disciples too. The other people that were, Peter, James, and John, they were together. Why is it that you don't recognize signs? Moses, God got Moses' attention by that unusual event. A bush that is burning but never finishing. It's not unusual for a bush to burn, but it's not. It's continuing, and it's continuing, and it's continuing, and it's continuing. It's not finishing. What unusual event has God allowed to happen in your life that is using to bring your attention to his will? God visited Moses to get his attention. And to once he got his attention, that was the beginning of his life. Visitation can catch your attention. It can catch somebody's attention. But it's a spiritual event and ministration to you. For you to see. You see, God said to the Israelites, said, this shall be a sign between me and thee. There are certain signs that God has between only you and him. Between me and thee. That Saturdays you won't work. So it's like it happens regularly in your life. Every Saturday, don't work. It shall be a sign between me and thee. Just how your life goes is a sign between me and thee. There are spiritual signs, and you are supposed to see the signs and hear from God. If you think you have an angel standing before of you, speaking your language in English audibly that you can recall on a phone, you'll be waiting forever. If you don't rise up and tune yourself to the signs that God is giving you so that you can follow him and obey him, then you remain in darkness and you have yourself to blame. If you look right now, you will see signs, certain things. And sometimes when disasters happen, you see that God gave you a sign, but you didn't hear. He gave you a sign and a sign and a sign, but you couldn't hear him. Or maybe you didn't want to hear him. And he showed you unusual things, like he showed Moses. A bush that doesn't stop burning, we are supposed to finish burning. As for burning, it's normal. There's bush fire. It starts all the time, especially in the desert. When it's hot and the sun is blazing, you can expect fire to start all over. That's what we call bushfires. But a fire that doesn't end in one place is supposed to get your attention, brother. There are funerals that get your attention. There are deaths that get your attention. There are tragedies that get your attention. That's why people start praying when they get sick. What is it in your life that God wants to get the attention? So, brothers and sisters, as we serve Him, I want you to rise up and begin your ministry. I want you to rise up and begin your ministry. Rise up and begin your ministry, stepping out of selfishness, stepping out of your localized, narrow tunnel vision world. Just you and your little group. You don't know there are many groups. No heart for anybody. No time. No sacrifice for anybody. No mercy. No care. No kindness. No thoughts. What is it like? What is it? What could it be like? No tears for anyone. You go to funerals and you see that even though you've come for the funeral, you just came to mark your register. To show your face that you came, but you have no feeling for the person or for whatever is going on there. It's true. It's a formality. I have to be there. God is looking for shepherds and priests who stand in between Him and God. Between Him and God. In between. Somebody who talk for them. Talk for you. Talk for them. Talk for somebody. Talk for somebody! No wonder I was going to ask somebody for help. But I remember that every time I've asked a person for help, he doesn't give me help. Because I noticed that if the thing is not for the person will not do it. So I said, I will not ask this person because he will never do it. I know. All the times I've asked for help, he's never done it. Unless it's for him. How are we like? Unless it's for you. Unless it's for you. It will not be done. Unless it's love, let's say some love relationship, that you can go visit. You can go from Accra to Kumasi to visit somebody and spend a night. You can sleep anywhere. You can sleep in a bus. You can travel all night. You can go, you can go, you can go, you can come. You can endanger yourself. But when it's something for someone, for God, oh, please. So I'm in school. I have exams. I have this, I have that. Young people, let me say something. Ministry is not just with words. Love not in word, but in deed and in truth. It's time to put away empty words. Empty words. Empty statements and empty promises and empty vows. Which have no meaning. And take God seriously. Ministry starts when you stand alone in somebody's house. It's the beginning of your calling. You stand alone, you and one person. I tell you, there's 1,000,000,000 people standing behind that person. Only you can't see them. That's the beginning of your calling. You are standing, you and somebody in his house, and you are talking to only one person. Who art thou? What is man that thou art mindful? The son of the man that thou visitest him. That man, that small boy. That's how you start ministry. That's the beginning of your calling. Can you do an altar call to one man? Can't you do an altar call to one man? Pray for one person to receive the Holy Ghost? The first time I prayed for people to receive the Holy Ghost, one person in his room, falling down on the power, it was me and one person. He fell down, collapsed. One person, just me and one person. That's the beginning of your ministry. You see the ministry when you speak a word, say, receive it. Then they all be falling out. It starts in a room. It starts in somebody's house. PVCI. Prayer, visitation, counselings, and interaction. Then you are sheep. You are a shepherd. You are a priest. You are a good priest. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You call yourself a follower of Christ. You might as well call yourself a shepherdian. Because he was a good shepherd. Instead of being called a foodian. St- Stand to your feet, everybody. Father, we thank you for your calling to us to be shepherds, to serve you, to follow you, to obey you. Deliver us from selfishness and hardness of heart. Inward lookingness, Lord. Inward looking. Narrow-mindedness and tunnel vision. Open our minds and our hearts for your overall work. To become a kingdom of priests, we pray that we shall be. Guide us and lead us. We ask, raise up men shepherds and women shepherds, boy shepherds and girl shepherds. Raise up priests, servants, people of mercy, people of love, people of care, people with a good heart, a heart for your work. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Place your hand on your heart and receive the heart of a shepherd. Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. May you be called also a good shepherd. A Christian who rose up and became a shepherd of the sheep. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for your great blessing that you give to us in raising up many, 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 many people for your work. We are grateful. We are thankful. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray with me. You want to be born again. What you are hearing me say, you want to be born again. Many shepherds would have come to your house to teach you to be born again. But there are no shepherds. God is raising up shepherds, sending more people to do his work. Father, thank you for raising up good shepherds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lovers of the sheep. Good people. And if you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus. I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Raise your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Father, thank you for all these that are giving their life to Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Everyone join in. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me. Make me a new person. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. If you gave your life to Jesus, you prayed, look on the screen. You see a number there. 233-560-333-0079. Beautiful. Text us. Send us a WhatsApp. There'll be a shepherd waiting to talk to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Now, I want us to have Holy Communion. We're going to have Holy Communion. Take the bread in your house, wherever you are.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life when I see the blood. Oh, 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 I will pass over you. When I see the blood, oh, 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 yeah, I will pass over you. God sent prophet Elijah on a long journey for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah needed supernatural strength. Oh, prophet Elijah, take this meal and eat. It will sustain you for 40 days and for 40 nights.
Genesis 18 and verse 5.
That Elijah needed. When I see the blood, oh,
I will fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your
hearts. I will pass over you.
And after that you shall pass on. Lift up the bread.
When I see the
I will
blood,
fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your hearts.
I will pass over you.
After that you shall pass on. Father, as we come before your table, may our hearts be comforted by the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us to be comforted, to be healed, and to be helped. Touch our lives, save our lives through this broken body, the body of our Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, as we receive your body, we receive healing and comfort for our hearts, and afterwards we shall pass on victoriously, strengthened and healed. The body of Jesus Christ. Take the blood. This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins of all men. Jesus, as we come before your table, receive this blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Because the sins will be covered by the blood, the mistakes will be covered by the blood. The errors will be covered by the blood. The failings will be covered by the blood. The wretchedness will be covered by the blood. The wickedness will be covered by the blood. And therefore we lift up this blood, Father, across the world where we receive from you today. May this blood neutralize all our failings and our mistakes. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. In the day of vengeance, may we escape. May we be pardoned. Because of the blood. We receive the blood as a wiper of all our wickedness and our sins. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for the blessing, which is the blessing of a shepherd. May you run like a shepherd of the Lord. May you walk like a shepherd of the Lord. May your shepherding grace be multiplied. May you wake up with care, concern, and love for others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. May you be blessed to be a giver. May you not praise yourself in your own eyes, but in reality, not the praise of man or the praise of your own words, but in reality, be a lover, a carer of the sheep, a friend of those that need a friend, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a shepherd, a visitor. Machado mazabaka tabloda basamba javada sambalada. May the grace and the mantle of the shepherd fall upon you, the blanket of a shepherd. Hadrucham shanda zamanda labada. May you be giving crowds. May you be humble. Daroma sakatal bona shambara. And be given nations because you accepted to visit one person in one room in one house. Umba hasbalade shamanda katal barada basabala tabashabakada sandali baba. To God be the glory. May this blessing be upon all those that have feet, beautiful feet, that go to people's houses and visit people to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve them Holy Communion, and to serve them the word of life and the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessing be upon such feet. Blessing be on such hands that care. And blessing be upon such hearts that are open and big, wide to receive a heart of love and mercy. May this blessing be upon all who hear and all who receive the blessing of a shepherd. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.